Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ahoy! Welcome in on a post-Thanksgiving edition of Primetime. Happy December 1st, by the way. No Isaac Ropp today. He has the crud, which is kind of interesting because he did just brag like a week or two ago about how he's never sick. Because it's been a running joke on the program that Ropp has the immune system of like a 75-year-old cancer patient.
Bye, bitch.
But he claimed that he had not been sick in like years, even though seems to be suspect. Every time he goes to Vegas, it damn near kills him. But he'd been very braggadocious. So he gets through the holiday weekend, allegedly. And then he claims on Friday starts feeling kind of crappy. And then last night I got the dreaded, hey, I think I have the crud. Keep me in the thoughts and prayers. We'll see how I feel Monday. Monday rolls around. Shocking development. The text rolls in. The four-day weekend, not enough. So no Ropp today. So he's on standby. Also, by the way, has Friday scheduled as a day off for a little vacation. So keep an eye on this. You know, it's like a Lane Kiffin to Ole Miss LSU sort of situation. Four-day weekend goes into a five-day weekend. Let's say Rob's not feeling very good tomorrow, so he takes an extra day. Now we're into Wednesday. You already have Friday off. Now you start debating, well, do I come back and push it on Wednesday? And if he doesn't push it on Wednesday, well, then you're into Thursday. And why come back Thursday when you're leaving Friday? So I'm just saying, I don't know if Marty Smith is going to be covering the Isaac Ropp, will he or won't he? But just keep an eye on this. If this extends, much like the Egg Bowl, if the Egg Bowl ends this show and we don't have an answer, just, you know, keep an eye. This could be an occurring situation.
That's, I need to do an interview at the end of his driveway,
It's possible. You show up at the yellow door and we stick a camera in his face and we ask him, what's the deal, Ropp? We hear you want to be here on primetime and yet, you know, here you are not. The four-day weekend, not enough. Although the Schnitzel Wolf is here. Along with your headband.
Yeah. Happy Monday. Happy post-Thanksgiving. You can actually say Merry Christmas without being looked at like a weirdo now. So Merry freaking Christmas to you, brother.
Do you get weirded out if you drop a Merry Christmas on people?
Before Thanksgiving, yeah. I think people kind of look at you weirdly. So my wife and I, we were at the Expo Center. I think it was a week and a half before Thanksgiving. It was like the Portland Holiday Market. Super fun. All kinds of, you know, little artisan gifts and other vendors there to just kind of walk around.
So but you're the one that goes to those things.
Abso-freaking-lutely. And my wife and I wore matching, why is the carpet all wet, Todd? I don't know, Margot sweaters.
Oh my gosh, look at you two. Fun. You guys are like a walking Christmas meme.
We love it, dude. And then we went home and watched Hallmark Christmas movies that night. But once again, before Thanksgiving, I dropped a couple Merry Christmases at this very festive Christmas event. Got some weird looks, brother.
Yeah, no good for people. I don't mind. Like, if you drop a Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas on me.
Yeah.
I'm a Merry Christmas guy, too. I don't mind if you want to go Happy Holidays, because, again, not everyone celebrates Christmas.
That's true.
This whole, like, war on Christmas is the dumbest thing in the world. You can say Christmas all you want.
Yeah.
Some people say Happy Holidays. Some people say Merry Christmas. If you want to drop a Happy Kwanzaa, how about a summer or a winter solstice? Whatever. That's my favorite part about the holidays. And now, like you said, with Thanksgiving, it kind of goes into that. This should be the best time of the year. It really should.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we got the NFL's in full swing. We got college football going on. You got the NBA and the NFL. There's so much to talk about today. It's ridiculous. I honestly don't even know where to start. I was going through last night when Rob was like, hey, I'm probably not going to be in. So you sit down and you do the award-winning show prep, and you start laying it out. And normally it's like you're like, all right, well, you know, I got to fill this time here and fill this one here. When you sat down, it's honest, like, how much can you get to in one day? Like, there is so much going on. Like, you could do an entire show on college football and what happened over the weekend. You do an entire week or entire show on the college football playoff and the different scenarios. Ooh. You could do a couple hours on Oregon and Washington and where those two programs are going. You can do an entire show on the coaching carousel. My God, you could do an entire show on Lane Kiffin and the Marty Smith thing and that whole thing. Or you can go into the NFL. I mean, even the Blazers are halfway interesting right now. So there's just so much to get to. So it really is, from a sports aspect, it's the land of milk and honey. And this should be the time of year where you kind of let petty differences go aside and you should be hopefully in a better mood. Like, that's what, like, I always like taking time off around the end of the year because it just kind of, it's like, it's a de-stress. You don't have to worry about work. Most jobs do kind of have a little more of a lax feel about them around this time of year.
People aren't doing deals right now, or they're not supposed to be anyway.
So everyone kind of relaxes a little bit, and whatever you're into, whether you believe in the Jesus stuff, whether you want to go with the your Jewish sky god, whether you want to do, you know, whatever you're into, right? Even if you're just someone that just likes the holidays, like, that's kind of me. I just like the feeling of the hall. I like the trees. I like the lights. I like the carols.
You like the good vibes.
It should be a good vibes.
Yeah.
This should be a time of year that, regardless of what you're into, you should feel pretty good. It's the peace on earth, the goodwill to men sort of stuff.
Hopefully.
Like, I don't really care about the whole religious aspect of it, but I love religious Christmas songs. It's like a weird thing. My favorite Christmas tunes usually have something to do with Jesus. Because they're just great. I love that big, bombastic, like, Angels We Have Heard On. Come on. You drop a Hark the Herald? I mean, we're getting into good stuff here.
I went to Mannheim Steamroller on Friday, man.
Did you?
Got the holidays started off right. Yeah, they were down at the Keller. It was so fun.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Well, I used to go to the Grotto at least over once over the holiday season.
Love the Grotto, too.
Say what you will about the Catholics. They know how to build a building. They know how to build a church. Right, carved into the side there, and you get the people up there in the high school choirs and get out there and sing a little bit. I get a little hot cocoa. There's a camel out there, for God's sakes. It's good times.
Got a fake nativity scene. I sang there, and they had, like, people dressed up as Mary and Joseph when I was in college. So.
Yeah.
Go see that.
Yeah. So even though, like, Thanksgiving isn't, like, I don't really care about the purpose of Thanksgiving, like the whole Plymouth Rock and the Pilgrims and all that. Yeah. Okay, whatever. But the launch of the holiday season, the start of Thanksgiving, the idea that you wake up Thursday morning and you know you're going to sit around and you're going to drink all day and maybe have some friends or some family come over. You're going to watch a little football. We're going to get a little drunk. We're going to eat too much food. And that just extends over to an entire weekend. And then that launches you in to December 1st, the start of the Christmas season. And we, like, unfreeze Michael Bublé and Mariah Carey and they get out and start belting it out. The tree is lit up down in Pioneer Courthouse Square. They did that on Friday.
They called it?
What?
We can get to that in the news, but there is a controversy surrounding our woke Christmas tree naming because it is called The Tree.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're not attaching anything to it. It is called The Tree down at Pioneer Square.
So it's just, what? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. The woke people pissed off the conservative people here in Portland over the weekend.
Huh.
Yeah. Big story. We can get to that later, but
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe we can ignore politics for a month. Probably not, but just eat. Be merry, drink, and get
fat. So the tree pisses people off just because it's the tree?
Well, it's like saying, kind of like what we were just opening the show with, hey, man, happy holidays. Like, that's okay because you are trying to not shove off the Jesus meaning, the Christmas meaning, you know, that Christians believe in, but you are being inclusive of all, right? Like, you know, happy holidays means happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, all that stuff.
And that's my part. I don't know. Like, look, to me, calling it the tree is kind of silly because it's a Christmas tree.
It is, and that's, I think, what the, you know, yeah, that's the dumb part.
Last thing, though, like, even if it's a Christmas tree, does it mean that you have to be Christian in order to enjoy the Christmas tree?
Oh,
like,
no.
I love Christmas, but I would consider myself at this point kind of a non-denominational godless heathen. Although I do pray to the All-Father. I'm just going full, like, we're just going pagan. But, like, why are you, I don't understand the idea of being offended at it being called the Christmas tree or having it be Christmas. Like, you should just be able to enjoy it. But at the same time, having something called the tree and not having it be the Christmas tree, if you're letting that bother you, you're kind of missing the point of the holiday season. Like, if someone says happy holidays to you, feel free to respond with Merry Christmas. There's nothing, like, I'm a Merry Christmas guy.
Yep.
Or I drop a this one, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
Love it.
There's nothing really, but if someone were to say to me, Happy
Kwanzaa, Sue.
Yeah, or Happy Hanukkah, I'd fire right back with absolutely fist bump. You fire back with a Merry Christmas and we can go back and forth. Like the idea that that should bother you, just there's enough right now going on that's enough to bother people. Let that petty crap go and we can get into what I think is the best time of the year. Even like during this show, this is that time of the year where people start taking like vacation and so you get kind of different pairings and some guys are in, some guys are out and it's just kind of fun. You can kind of have loose, kind of carefree shows. And I don't know, this is by far, I woke up today. Normally after like a 4-day, I was listening to Dirt and Sprague this morning and they were talking about that they had the Sunday scaries because they said, I don't know when the last time they had a day off. So it was like, oh my God, you had this 4-day, you know, weekend and he woke up with the Sunday scaries. I was the exact opposite. I woke up this morning and was like, hell yeah. It's like December 1st.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, it was dry outside. I get in a good mood. I am the exact opposite of seasonal depression. I flip it on its head. I am seasonal. I'm just seasonal joy. December 1st just always, to me, kind of lights up the room a little bit. So I get excited. I even drove down today to take a look at, quote, the tree.
All right.
Yeah, I wanted
to. So you saw the tree.
I saw the tree. I was like,
saw the beautiful light.
So I thought it was a Christmas tree, but it turns out it was just a tree. There's a person in my neighborhood that, and it's a really nice BMW. And I don't know if you've seen this, but like they tape the Christmas lights all over the car.
Yes, I love that now. That's become a thing in the last half a decade or so since COVID. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, but it's like a nice M4 Beamer. I'm assuming that just like the painter's tape doesn't do anything to
the it's the blue tape, yeah, then you're fine.
But when you see it like during the day, it kind of looks dumb because it just like, it looks really tacky. But when you see it at night, you're like, hey! Like those people.
I love it.
It's kind of fun.
I was disappointed. I tried to go put my lights up yesterday. We don't do much, but just a little right around our oval like entry doorway up to the main door, put some lights up there. The strands were out, so I got to go fix what we got, or if they won't work, then I just got to go buy some new ones.
Amazon.com, brother.
I know.
Or go down to Big Lots.
$9.
Yeah, it's
Cyber Monday still.
Oh, yeah.
Did you buy anything?
No, I didn't. I got to get a TV this year.
Yeah.
That's like our combined. We're doing a combined, because normally we travel. We just go somewhere for Christmas. This is the one year I think we're not. It was just an expensive year. So we're hunkering in. So we're just going to do a combined Christmas gift to like each other. And we're just going to get like a new TV. Oh. And I looked at them for like Black Friday. I'm not convinced that there's any real deal like on Black Friday or Cyber Monday. Whatever deal is there, was there Friday, is there Monday, and I'll be there Wednesday. So I didn't buy anything. I'm kind of a minimalist. Like we don't. There's nothing I need, and there's not, like, you see all these people now that are going around to like Home Depot or, you know, wherever. I don't mean to call any one store out, but they're like lifting up the Black Friday price tag. It's the same price as the other one.
Yep.
It's just they're putting on a tag that says Black Friday.
Or it was $50 cheaper back in July. I do see stores doing that too. So don't beware. Like, don't fall victim to that stuff. But like, hey, if you have a bunch of stuff you need, my wife and I spent $400 on a bunch of crap that we have been kind of, you know, piecemealing through the year, like, hey, all right, let's grab this at the right time. Yeah. And Black Friday, I'm a deal hunter. It's a good time, baby.
No, so. I didn't buy anything over the Black Friday. We were looking, so the TV, and then the missus wants a new dining room table.
Oh.
She wants a live edge dining room table.
A live edge?
A live edge, like the like a big slab.
Okay. Okay. Got
you know what I mean? So live edge where it's not a straight table.
Yes.
It's a slab of wood.
And learning table terms today. Right?
Yeah, so she wants a live edge table. She does not like the dining table that she inherited, aka when she got with me, I had already purchased a table. So I don't like my table, so she wants a live edge table. And so she was looking at that, and I have decided that over the holidays, so I take some time off, I am building a live edged dining room table.
Oh, damn.
This will be my holiday, adventure.
Project gift. You sound like you're starring in a Hallmark movie. Like you're the carpenter that's going to make somebody a table and then you're going to hook up at the end of the movie. Let's go, baby.
I think I already got the hookups. But yes, I am going to attempt to make a live edge table because she was looking at them for Black Friday deals.
Oh, I'm sure they're still.
And they're still very, very expensive. And so it's something that I was like dinking around with, and I made our coffee. I made a coffee table. Well, I've made both of our tables. So we have a living room like coffee table, and then we have a little kind of couple side tables. So I've made all of those.
Oh, wow.
So I've made the tables in the house.
I did not know this about you.
I am like a B- handyman / carpenter.
It's pretty hot.
But I know what I can and can't do. And I will say that this is by far the biggest undertaking that I will, that I'm going to take a crack at. So we've decided to forego the Black Friday, like $4,000 dining room table. And yeah, that's now on sale for like $3,400. Like, what savings? So yes, I have picked out my slab. I shall buy my slab. And then I will attempt over the holiday break, hopefully by Christmas, to deliver this 9-foot live edge table.
It's going to be a high tea Christmas over at the Sukanik household.
Now, man, I will say I cheat.
Let's go.
Because like I won't make the legs. I will outsource. I'll go find an old dining room table off of like Facebook Marketplace.
That's smart.
And I will that someone's just, you know, piece of crap table, but
sand
like
it down.
But I like the legs.
Okay.
So I will take the legs off of that table, and then I will sand them, refinish them, and then I will attach them to the live edge that I have sanded and lacquered and all that. And so I'm not building the legs from scratch, but I will repurpose. So that's like what I did when I built my coffee table. I did not get like to have a piece of glass cut is really expensive.
Yeah.
So I did the base, and it's a big tree stump. So I got the tree stump, shaped it, flattened it out, everything. And then I went and bought an old crappy like 1970s glass table that someone sold for like $10, took the piece of glass out of it, and used that as the top of my table.
You smart MF-er, you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So instead, again, of like some of these tables, like they're
redonk.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And all it takes is a little elbow grease.
A little elbow grease and some skill, man. I'd be cutting stuff crooked. There's no way I could do that. So props to you.
Therein lies my I am attempting. This is my homage to your Hallmark movie. The big city gal from Tokyo, I'm trying to impress her with my handmade table.
I think she will be extremely impressed. I think you might get the gold star treatment, as one of my favorite Christmas movies says.
Gold star.
It's Mila Kunis talking to her boyfriend. Yeah. Right. Gonna get the gold star treatment because he knows where the fuse box is.
So where do we start? Maybe we just dip into Husky Hate Week.
Ooh.
It was a good one. It was a good one up in Seattle, Oregon, Seattle. So we start with that. We start with Huskies, Ducks, and then we move on to the world of college football. We've got Sockwatch in the 4 o'clock hour
yes, sir.
In the news, and then maybe the 5 o'clock we shift over and talk a little NFL. But so much to do with college football, including a look ahead, coaching carousel. What's the playoff look like? We actually take a look at all of that here over the next few segments on a Ropless edition, a holiday edition of Primetime.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's championship week. That does anything for you. Not for Oregon. Oregon's not in a championship week. Although,
thank God.
You prefer not being in the Big Ten championship? It's such a weird world we're living in where the idea that playing for your conference title now means nothing. And I don't want to get into the whole the regular season means nothing because I think that's obviously hogwash. Go ask Miami, go ask Alabama, go ask BYU if the regular season means anything as you're sweating bullets. But the idea for an Oregon team last year that went undefeated, played in the Big Ten title game, and then got blitzed after having the bye, it certainly didn't feel like that Big Ten title really meant anything, right? Whereas in the past, winning the Pac-12 or winning the Big Ten was a big deal, winning your conference. But we have evolved now because there is an actual 12-team playoff that, with the exception of the bye, and that goes down to whether you want it or not, there does seem to be this belief now among some that if you're Oregon, would you rather have the bye again, or would you rather be the 5 seed and play Tulane or James Madison or Virginia with a home game with less of a layoff and then a tune-up game for maybe the second week of the playoffs where you would play maybe a Texas Tech? I have always been of, don't make me play an extra game. Now, I get it. If you're playing Tulane, James Madison, Virginia, those feel like cakewalks. But remember, Boise State last year was supposed to be a cakewalk, and they gave you all you could handle at the start of the year. Now, they got handled by Penn State. Arizona State was supposed to be a cakewalk for Texas, wasn't a cakewalk. So I am always of the belief that if you can get a bye, get a bye. But it is kind of one of the negative context things that in this world of the playoff, that the conference title no longer means anything. Because think about it, in the olden days, Oregon had a hell of a year, right? They finish off old Wavawi Week, brought to you by Woda Woda. They finish that off, which I thought ended up being a great game. I don't know if that goes down in like Oregon lore, but Malik Benson splitting an entire defense to bust open what all of a sudden was a really pucker factor game, I thought that was fantastic. And under the olden days, the fact that you're not even going to play for your conference title, you could take what potentially is a phenomenal season and it would just be another, imagine in the olden days, you'd be getting ready to go play the Fiesta Bowl right now and have it mean absolutely nothing. Like, you'd be getting ready to go play a meaningless Fiesta Bowl against Kansas State. I mean, think about that. When Oregon went down and played Kansas State and blitzed them in that, did that mean anything?
Nope.
I mean, God, I remember days where USC and Oregon, by the way, were complaining about going to the Rose Bowl. Because like, I don't know, we've been there before.
Like, who cares?
It's who cares. So I think we do have a tendency in today's world to kind of crap talk everything that's going on right now and re-romanticize what was in the past. And what was in the past was still crappy. Like, the system we have now, whatever you think of this 12-team playoff, it's a hell of a lot better than what we had under a 4-team playoff. It's a hell of a lot better than what we had under a 2-team playoff. And it's a hell of a lot better than what we had when we just voted on who we thought the two best teams were, and we didn't even get a chance to have those two teams play. BYU, my team, won a national title in 1984 and beat one ranked team simply because they were undefeated. There was many years that the best team in the country, see like the Miami Hurricanes, didn't get a chance to play. Again, I brought up the Fiesta Bowl, that Joey Harrington team never got a shot. Was that the best team in the country? I don't think so. But it would have been nice to have that opportunity. So whatever you think, someone's going to get left out of this whole thing. There's going to be two or three teams this year that get left out of the conversation, and we're going to bitch and moan. But it's still better than what we used to have. It's way better. So yes, is college football, does it have problems? Is there warts? Sure. Was this last weekend really fun? Yes. I thought, maybe I'm out in left field. I just thought Oregon-Washington was fantastic. I don't know what it meant long-term for Oregon. I still have a weird feeling. Honestly, I have a weird feeling about both of these schools right now because you take a look at it in two different contexts. And I'll briefly go with Washington. If you're Washington, I think the future is promising, But I also think this year in some ways was a big step backwards. Yeah, you're a bowl team and yeah, you won 8 games. Your defense was good enough in every game that you lost in order to be in those games and win those games. If I told you that Washington was going to outrush the Oregon Ducks in that game and you're a Husky fan, you think you win that game, right? If I told you that that was going to be a one-score game in the fourth quarter, you would take that every single time. And yet, ultimately, what let Washington down was your offense. And again, the Malik Benson play, stuff allure. But Oregon's a really good team, and eventually they're going to break one. But outside of that play, Washington's defense was really good. I mean, Dante Moore is a NFL quarterback. Whether he comes out this year or next year, Dante Moore is a top 5 pick in the NFL.
He was the reason they won the game.
Dante Moore was fantastic. Yeah. You couldn't do anything against him on third down. And in the biggest moment when they needed it and their back was up against the wall, Benson and Moore made a phenomenal play, and that should be an all-timer. Like, that should be one that they show at Autzen Stadium. But if you're Washington, I think what you have to look at is you had a quarterback in Damon Williams that we were told, and I fell into it too, that I thought Damon Williams was going to be an All-American type player. And you had Jonah Coleman, who is one of the best backs in America, and you have arguably the best draftable receiver in Denzel Boston. Right, he's not Jeremiah Smith, but Jeremiah Smith is going to be in next year's draft. Malachi Toney is 2 years away. Denzel Boston is as good a receiver as there is an upperclassman. And to have your offense in the biggest games against Michigan, against Ohio State, and against Oregon, and against Wisconsin, to not show up in any meaningful way, I think that's the part that if I'm a Washington fan, I'm really disappointed. And yes, Oregon's got a good defense. Yes, Michigan's got a good defense. Yes, Ohio State has a good defense. I'm not denying any of that. But you're Jed Fish, and you have a good enough offensive line and 3 players that are supposed to be a big 3. I mean, there were times this year we thought that may be as good a big 3 as anyone in the Big Ten. And to have them show up in none of those games, none of them, I think that has to be a disappointing thing. And yes, Washington got, I think, like 3,000 snaps from freshmen this year. So you look at it, and Jed Fish escaped this coaching cycle, and his name wasn't really mentioned in a lot of those things. But looking ahead for Washington, I think you have to ask the question, does Damon Williams actually grow and develop into something big, or does he become another cautionary tale? Because I can also name like 10 quarterbacks this year that I was told were going to have phenomenal years.
No kidding.
That didn't develop at all. Whereas Oregon, Oregon's in a much better spot than Washington. But if Dante Moore comes back, you don't have a quarterback that needs to develop into the one of the best quarterbacks in the country. If Dante Moore comes back, you do have the best quarterback in the country. So even though that game was close and it was competitive and it feels like Washington is kind of gaining ground, and I think next year, hopefully that can continue to be a great rivalry game, and I'm glad that it was close. To me, right now, there's still just a big difference. And that the overall talent, and more importantly, at the most important position, you've got a guy up north that you're hoping one day becomes something, and I think you've got a guy at Oregon that already is.
I think we knew coming in Washington's offense was kind of hit or miss, right? If they're on, if Damon Williams Jr. is connecting with these red receivers that you're talking about, yes, it's going to be a great day for their offense, but that's the thing about Oregon's best passing defense in the nation, right? That's exactly what they do against these types of players. And they also showed, I mean, on Oregon's end, they can beat you in multiple different ways. Washington right now, to your point, Suk, it's kind of a one-track game, you know, with the Huskies. And maybe that's why Jed Fish wasn't, you know, in all of these coaching carousel talks, just because they haven't really shown the dynamic ability in the Big Ten to beat anybody yet. Now, to the Huskies' point, they were so physical. That was, I said it in the postgame show with Joe, that was the most physical Oregon-Washington game I think I've ever seen, Suk. Like, the popping of pads just on every play, it seemed like open field tackles that I never saw that in the Pac-12 when I was a kid. The physicality has come to both these schools, but Oregon is just still out-recruiting them, and I'm not sure Washington's ever going to be able to catch up, man. And you're right. Dante Moore coming back most likely next year. He will be the Heisman candidate favorite, right? Like, no question.
I just look at it, and I got to go back. 6 points against Ohio State, 7 against Michigan, 10 against Wisconsin, and 14 against Oregon. It's not good enough.
Nope.
And your defense, if I told you going into those games that your defense was going to hold all those teams into the low 20s,
mm-hmm.
It's funny. We just went into that year thinking that Washington's offense was going to lead them and their defense was going to have to get drug behind. And it really didn't end up being that way. Whereas you Oregon, you have a very balanced Oregon team. So the whole beat up thing at this point, if you're Oregon, it's your receiving core. But that's it. Essentially, everyone's back. Defense has been healthy most of the year, and your offensive line looks good. You got your backs. You got Dante Moore. It comes down to, can you get receivers back? Because at this point, if you're Oregon, now the work is done. The hay's in the barn. And now we just kind of sit back. So now that we've put Washington in the rear view, I think when I look at Oregon, is there anything about this Oregon team that I think is exceptional? I think they're really good. I don't think there's any massive weaknesses, but I also don't think there's anything they do that is terrifying to me. And so then that gets into the question, is Oregon good enough? Is this team, because they're certainly resilient, they certainly know what it's like to be drug into deep water. With the exception of Indiana, every time they've been drug into deep water, they've responded. I actually think the best part about Oregon is that resiliency. That's a battle-tested team. That's a team that isn't going to break when they're in close games. But does that mean they're good enough to go on a run and put together four straight games? Or is there still a chance that Oregon only has to put together three straight games? So we'll take a look ahead at where Oregon more likely than not is going to sit, because now we have to wait a week and wait for conference title games to play out. So let's take a look ahead and see what Oregon may be facing 2 weeks from now when the final rankings come out and see what their playoff chances look like. Here, though, Schnitzel Wolf with sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome in. The H is O. The heat is on. We're talking a little college football. Did Danny have to paint his face? Is that what this is? There's a face paint stick.
Oh, wow. It's got green and yellow. It is a literal duck's face paint stick. Yes, Danny Meringue, I do not know the actual details of this.
Some sort of USC Oregon bet, I'm guessing?
That or like he was so confident, yeah, because they
really
were...
he was confident in USC?
Or against Washington after like they lost to USC, just trying to S-talk Oregon. But yes, he had to wear the face paint today.
Huh. So I guess I must have missed that.
So congrats to Duck fans that basically got to rub Danny's face in it all day.
So if anyone wants a face paint stick of Oregon that's got a bunch of Danny on it, be my guest.
No, I don't.
Kind of feel like that's just going to, like, ew, want to roll that away.
Going to sit there for another 10 months.
Yeah, that thing will not ever be used again. I don't think I've ever painted my face.
Really? Never? Like for sporting events or like Halloween or anything?
No, I don't think I've ever.
Dude.
I don't think I've ever applied face paint. I'm not much, in case you didn't know this about me, I'm not much of a, like the big eye black and all that, like the warp. Yeah, I've never done it.
You weren't an eye black guy.
No.
Okay.
No, I think, boy, you got to. Like, if you're Myles Garrett and you want to wear eye paint, hey, be my guest. But, like, when you're J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or Tua, like, the Jesus one, like, you're putting big crosses
because yeah,
I'm sure that's what the Lord wants.
Well, didn't Mark Sanchez wear, like, the little stickers with, like, a verse on his?
Yeah.
That worked out well for
it's
him.
It's just not my cup of tea.
No.
Nor have I ever been, like, confident enough in my team to, like, place a face paint bet. But the idea, like, that you thought USC or Washington was going to beat Oregon. And look, I'm the first one to tell you, I don't think Oregon is the fourth best team in the country. I'm not certain that they're the fifth best team in the country. But I'm also not certain that there's any elite teams outside of Ohio State. But what I am certain is that Washington and USC, while I'm sure both capable on the right given day, certainly could beat Oregon. Because again, I don't think Oregon is just this, you know, I don't think this is the best team Oregon's ever had. I think this team is not as good a team they had last year.
I would agree with that.
But the idea that you thought that Washington or USC, when I looked at both of those games, I thought it was going to have to be they were going to have to play their best game of the year, and Oregon was going to have to kind of muddle their way through it. And you can make the argument that Oregon did kind of muddle their way through kind of parts of both of those games, but neither side was, but Oregon, or excuse me, Washington and USC weren't good enough. I mean, the first, interception that Damon Williams had down at the goal line, it's a terrible ball. I mean, you can't throw a fade route to the front pylon with a safety coming over the top. It was a great play by Candy, but at the same time, like, what are you doing? And he shorted the ball. I mean, that's just a terrible play on
the Kennedy just read his eyes, basically, right?
Yeah, it was just you can't throw that. When you go back, I went back and looked at that. I'm like, you can't throw it. And that's why Damon Williams, I think, is maddening for Washington fans. So that game went about the same way I thought the USC game was going to go. Little resistance, but at the end of the day, you were two scores better. So now we look ahead for Oregon. And like someone asked me too, like, what did you think, like, with Oregon, you know, their O-line healthy, they didn't run the ball particularly well. Wasn't great. Again, I don't look at anything that Oregon does as overly exceptional. I just think Oregon is a really good team without a lot of glaring weaknesses. But I think when you look to me at the good teams that Oregon has played, right? Because I don't give credit for beating the hell out of Northwestern or Oregon State or anything. So if we're going to say that there's four teams that Oregon has played, Penn State, Indiana, I guess we could say five. If you want to say Iowa, USC, Washington.
Yeah.
Like those are the teams that at least, and you can dismiss Penn State, but when they played Penn State still had a lot to play for. It was a tough environment, right? So when I look at those teams that they've played, those have been competitive dogfights. You need a double overtime to pull it out against Penn State. Indiana was just better than you were, right? Iowa, you needed Dante Moore to have just an all-time drive. That throw that he had, I believe also to Malik Benson, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the best throws that you'll see, which is why I also think he's going to be a top five player when he decides to come out. USC, you got some resistance, but I never felt that they were in the game. And then against Washington in the fourth quarter, that was a 3-point game. And then again, you had a absolute strike by Dante Moore, put it out of reach, and Washington never threatened again. So you've had five games, and I guess you could say that it was dominant in USC. The rest of them have been dogfights. And I think that is who Oregon is. Oregon is a really good team that is not going to beat themselves. But when I look ahead to the playoff and you say, someone asked me like, what do you think about their inability to run, or do you, you know, this or that? Styles make fights. And depending on who they play in the college football playoff, different deficiencies or different strengths are going to play a big role in what Oregon does, right? My question with Oregon is, assuming they're not a top four seed, and by the way, there's still a world where they could be a top four seed. I don't necessarily buy it, but if you wanted to look ahead, let's say Bama just gets absolutely housed in the SEC title game, right? Georgia gets revenge and just beats the break off of them. Texas Tech loses to BYU in the Big 12 title game. I think there's a chance at that point that Oregon becomes the four seed. I do.
Yeah.
I don't think that those are likely to happen. Certainly, I don't think Texas Tech is losing to BYU, but there is a scenario. But for the most part, I think Oregon is safely the five or the six.
Can I throw out another wacky scenario at you, too?
Yeah.
What if the same thing that Florida State getting ousted out of the college football playoff when it was a four-team game only because of an injury
a couple
years ago, say Julian Sain goes, I don't want this to happen, but if he goes down, will the college football playoff committee not want to include a team just because of an injured player
chance.
And vaulting Oregon up?
There's the difference between falling from one to four. People have brought up the Ole Miss thing.
Yeah.
Could Ole Miss get slotted down a notch or two? Certainly. Is Ole Miss going to go from six to out? No. Remember, Florida State went from four to five.
Yeah.
They fell one spot. There's no scenario. Oregon is safe at five or six. Is there an outside chance that Is there an outside chance that Oregon is the four seed? Sure. And that gets you the bye. But realistically, Oregon will be the five or the six. And so when I look at that, the first game is probably going to be against Tulane or North Texas. Maybe a James Madison, right? That's a realistic sort of scenario. So I think by the fact that you've moved up to the five or six, you've really put yourself in the catbird seat. Because a couple weeks ago, that first round game was against Alabama or Notre Dame. And certainly playing one of those teams is different than playing, let's be more realistic, it's probably going to be Tulane or Virginia, right? That'll be your first round opponent. So if we're going to assume that Oregon rolls in that one, which I think is a fair assumption, I don't think those schools should be able to test you. It does make it a little easier because you don't have to beat four elite teams. You have to beat three elite teams. So in some shape or form, like as it stands now, like you would probably play Tulane and then Texas Tech and then Ohio State and then maybe Georgia. That is a conceivable path. Now, we don't know what the whole bracket will look like, but we do have an idea that in that first round, you're playing Virginia or Tulane or North Texas. You're playing the 11 or the 12.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of that bracket, in some shape or form, right? Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Mississippi, someone like that. But like I said, as it was going into championship week, right now it would be that. If chalk held out, Oregon, and then you're waiting for Texas Tech, and then probably Ohio State, and then on the national title game, the other side of the bracket, Indiana, Georgia, Bama, someone like that. Is Oregon good enough when you look at the four or five games that they have played against teams that are of an upper quality? And I can make the argument that every team outside of Tulane or Virginia, whoever they play in the first round, is going to be better than everyone not named Indiana. And from a talent standpoint, they're going to be better than Indiana. Does Oregon, who has just found this gritty way to win games, right? They just find a way. Can you do that 3 or 4 weeks in a row? Can you beat the defense of Texas Tech? Then can you battle Ohio State? And if you get through that, then your reward is Georgia. Can Oregon do that? Is it conceivable? Sure. Because I don't think there's a ton of elite teams. What I have seen from Oregon this year, would I say it's likely? No. I don't think that this team, to me, has the feel that last year's did. I thought last year's team looked and felt like a national championship team. And it wasn't. We know what happened when they played Ohio State. When I watch this team, do I see a national championship team? I don't. Even if the receivers come back, do I feel that this is a national title team? No, I don't. If the right bracket goes their way, if they get on a heater, if Dante Moore plays out of his mind, is it possible? Absolutely. Because like I said, with outside of Ohio State, I don't think there's an elite team in college football. I really don't.
I can't come at you even as very biased Duck fan. I disagree with you, buddy. This is the beginning of the season. I did not think Oregon was going to be near the top of these upper echelon teams. I'm frankly surprised that they are able to get to this point in 11-1 college football playoff. Like, this was supposed to be a developmental year.
Yeah.
They've still had freshmen scoring touchdowns out the booty.
Yep.
And thankfully putting some stuff out on the offensive like side of the field, but they won't be able to do that, at least in my opinion, unless something just lightning strikes for them. They're just not going to be able to do it against an Ohio State. Maybe in Indiana, maybe playing Indiana. See, that's the one scenario, Suk, I could see it going well for Oregon. Could they pull an Ohio State, learn like they did last year when Oregon beat them, and then just run everybody else over in the college football playoff?
I suppose. But at no point, Ohio State had it all.
Yeah.
And it was a matter, can you put it all together? I don't think Oregon does.
Yeah.
Again, I think Oregon's good. I don't think they're great. I thought last year's Oregon team was better than this. And I think next year's team is going to be better. I think the next 2 years of Oregon, that to me is like, oh my God, look out. If everyone comes back next year, look at how many, all you have to do is replace, you know, some linemen. But when you look at the young secondary, you look at the young receivers, you look at the young quarterback, you look at the young backs, yes, you're going to lose some guys, but Oregon has been so good in the portal, and they recruit so well in the depth of this team. Next year and the year after is the teams where I look at and I'm like, oh boy. But this doesn't feel like Ohio State to me. This doesn't feel like a sleeping juggernaut. This feels like an overachieving team. This feels like a team that could have lost two or three games, but because they're well-coached, they're deep, the next man up mentality, and it's just a gritty, hard-ass team that follows after their coach. They found ways to win games. And that, to me, against the better competition teams, I just don't think you're going to do that 4 weeks in a row, which is what you're going to have to do. And I'm not certain that their best is quite good enough. But the beauty part about now versus a couple years ago, again, if we're going to crap on college football, you get a chance to prove it. Because in the olden days, think about that. Even in the four-team playoff, you're not making it. You would not get a chance to do it. Oregon gets a chance to prove idiots like me that says, I don't think this is a national title team. You get a chance to give everyone the middle finger and go out and do it. And that's why with all the crap that we can talk about college football, and we will, we'll actually take a look at what the playoff will look like, who's in, who's out. Because really, you're playing for one, maybe two spots. That's it. The rest of this is locked in. This is a better system than we've ever had. Is it perfect? No. Is it better than what we had? Absolutely. We'll talk about that, the actual field, when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan. Welcome back in. Now that we have the regular season done, we can look ahead to conference championship week. I guess we still have Army-Navy, which, you know, damn near came down to, you know, Navy still being in this thing.
I know, right?
Right? Like, how awesome. I was hoping the Navy would get a chance to be in the college football playoff. I know that wouldn't end well for them. Like, Navy against Oregon, I know how that game goes, but I think it would be awesome for one of the academies to get that crack.
They have a very Eric Crouch-style quarterback. What is his name? Horvath? He just runs a lot. Like, he could probably be a receiver. He's not a true quarterback, but it's a fun team.
But we have, so the SEC is set. We have Alabama, Georgia, right? We have Ohio State, Indy, which, by the way, do you see College Game Day is actually going to be at the SEC championship game, even though the Big Ten title game is one versus two.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Isn't ESPN kind of making it a little more obvious that they are shilling for the SEC at this point? Kirk Herbstreit can defend himself, but
I'll get this. I'll get to this, but honestly, I thought ESPN embarrassed themselves.
Yeah.
I really did. And we'll talk about Lane Kiffin because we have a whole coaching carousel thing, which, by the way, I may be losing my coach any minute. It sounds like Kalani Sitake is the head guy. At least that's what Penn State wants, Sitake to be their next head coach. But I really thought ESPN absolutely embarrassed themselves in the way they handled the Lane Kiffin situation. From Kirk Herbstreit to Nick Saban to Dan Orlovsky, which, by the way, they all have the same agent, which is Lane Kiffin's agent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's embarrassing.
Jimmy Sexton.
It's you should be ashamed of yourselves. And that's saying something coming from ESPN, because I think there's been a lot of shameful things that ESPN has done recently.
Certainly lowered the bar in the past decade or so.
Well, I think whatever you think of Stephen A. Smith, I think Cam Newton, some of the calling out of Kevin Stefanski, some of the racial baiting that they're doing with the Shedeur Sanders stuff, I think has been horrific.
Yeah.
But to go on the biggest platform in college football and have a panel full of analysts go up there and put their head up their ass and act like somehow Ole Miss is doing something wrong by not letting Lane Kiffin coach when he is clearly gone and is blackmailing Ole Miss and threatening them. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then Dan Orlovsky goes on there this morning and tries to make that claim again, without saying that he is a Jimmy Sexton client. I mean, it's an abomination. And then you've got Adam Schefter goes on there and on the national show, whatever that Get Up or whatever, and goes on there and says, why didn't Ole Miss pay Lane Kiffin? If LSU was willing to pay him $13 million, why didn't Ole Miss? Are you effing kidding me? Luckily, Paul Feinbaum was there to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, whatever LSU was going to pay Ole Miss was. He said the money was equal across the board. That's Adam Schefter. That's the biggest insider in the NFL, and he wasn't aware going on to that show that Ole Miss was matching whatever offer. I mean, I get that ESPN has an agenda, but I thought this week in general, I thought that was about as piss poor a job as ESPN could do at being neutral.
Yeah, it's weird when a sports network becomes a fan. They were Tigers fans this week. They wanted Lane Kiffin to go to LSU, and it wasn't just because of clicks and ratings for them.
Yeah, and they wanted him to continue coaching Ole Miss because it made for a better narrative.
Well,
and it was it really was. It just, it was poor.
Crap from all sides on that
one. It was bad. ESPN, and you don't care. You don't care what I say. You don't care what anyone else says. I mean, you're running a WWE Survivor Series. I was watching SportsCenter over the weekend, and it's because I was watching the whole college football wrap-up thing, and right after they got done talking about the college football playoff, they jumped to the WWE Survivor Series, including interviews with some of the participants, and they were acting as if it was like a real sport. Why? Because they're now, I guess, owned by the same parent company, like the UFC and all. I just, at some point, we're living in a simulation. We're living in idiocracy. And ESPN, I just thought it was pathetic. And I'm glad that some of the people like Scott Van Pelt, I'm at least glad that some of the people are pushing back against this ludicrous notion that Lane Kiffin should have been allowed to continue coaching Ole Miss. All right, we didn't get to it. So we got to take a break. We're up against it. When we come back, we'll take a look at the college football playoff. We'll take a look at the college football carousel. And then we got Stockwatch. And then in the news. And then in the 5 o'clock hour. I told you, it's so loaded today. It was a huge week of the NFL, too. So we're going to try our very best to get to all of this. But there's so much going on in the world of sports. But luckily, we've got 3 more hours. You've got primetime here on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.